Hi there.
Can I invite you to church? Any of these Sundays, on the mainland, we have service starts for 7:30 a.m. and second service for 9 a.m. The venue is Fagbemi's bus stop behind the PFCN office at Amoah Dolphin, Lagos. And if you stay anywhere on the island, our service on the island starts for 10 a.m. The venue is right beside Meadow Hall Schools, after third round about Lekki, Lagos. I look forward to seeing you there. You'll be my special guest.
Establish that depression is like a mental illness, all right? It's something that actually attacks your mind. And we looked at the causes last week. We also looked at the symptoms. We looked at the things that can cause it. We also looked at the symptoms. Today we are going to deal more with the cure, how to take care of it. Hallelujah. Many people, when they are facing depression and things like that, we say one of the symptoms is suicidal thoughts and suicidal behavior. So they begin to play with the thought of taking their own lives. And it's not a joke. It's a serious issue. The reason why that happens is because depression is also a spirit. It's called in the Bible the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. When it comes on you, like, because it's not natural for anybody to hurt themselves. It's not natural at all. To even cut yourself, it's not natural at all. The natural thing most people do is to self-preserve, to preserve themselves. So you can't even slap yourself successfully. Is somebody getting this? So anything that will now make you kill yourself usually is not natural. It's a spirit of heaviness. It's a spirit of the devil, you know, choking the life out of you. You need to understand this, guys. It's not natural at all. Praise God. So, and because there's also a spiritual dimension, it might be triggered by natural things, but it can also now move into the spiritual dimension where the devil wants to choke you and bring so much heaviness that you will start thinking of suicide or suicidal behaviors. What do I mean by suicidal behaviors? You start doing reckless things. You start doing self-destructive things. Things you wouldn't normally do if you're in your right senses. So some go to alcohol. Some go to indiscriminate sexual behavior. You know, some go to reckless lifestyle. Something that can kill them because they have like a death wish. They're tired of life, so they just want to do anything to get it high. All right, the cures. And let me say this now as I begin to talk about the cure. The cures, watching TV is not the cure. Because most times people feeling down and depressed and all that, they think if I watch series, my favorite series, I'll be fine. If I go for a comedy show, I'll be fine. And all those comedy shows is good. But that is not enough to heal you of depression. When you are really facing depression, just some small laughter or some entertainment is not what you need to be free. Is somebody getting this? So watching a movie can't heal you. Shopping can't heal you. Are you here, somebody? Because that was some people, when they are feeling down, they go for a shopping spree. They are just donating your money. Because you will feel high for a few hours, maybe a few days, but after, that same spirit will come back. So what you're looking for is a real lasting solution. Are you here, somebody? What you're looking for is a real... Drinking won't solve it. Most people, when they have a problem, they go to the surface solutions, the artificial solutions. One thing you must realize is that for every problem human beings have, there is a natural and sometimes Satan-motivated solution. Satan presents some things, or your flesh even presents some things to you as a solution. Meanwhile, you know that is not the real solution. Are you here, somebody? So people look for entertainment, excitement. If I watch TV, if I watch a movie, if I go and shop, if I go and drink, you know, I'll be free. It might elevate it for just a short time, but after it will come again. What you're looking for is real, lasting what? Solutions. And those are the sort of things we'll look at this morning quickly. I told you last week that even in the Bible, a lot of people had issues with depression. It's very common. In the Bible, a lot of people had issues with depression. even great men of God. We looked at the story of Elijah. I don't know if we looked at it though. Let's go look at 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19 from verse 1. You know the story. Ahab was the king. Ahab now married Jezebel. Jezebel was a bad woman. She was a good wife, but a bad woman. We don't have time to look at that today, but she was a very bad woman. So she brought her prophets, prophets of Baal, and all these idol prophets. You know, there's one interesting thing inside, but I don't want to waste time. I don't want to waste time to go into it. She brought the prophets of Baal. Every king is in close contact with their man of God. So what happened was that Jezebel brought her own prophets, and she was taking care of them. She was feeding them and paying their bills. She was sowing seeds into their life, and they were prophesying their rubbish into her life. She needed her own priest and prophets to minister to her. So there were prophets of Baal, and there were many of them, about 900 or so of them. So all the prophets of God went to hide. There was a guy called Obadiah in the Bible. He was a godly man, but was serving in this administration. You know, so he too now took the prophets of God, hid them, and was also sponsoring them. He was sending them food and stuff, hundreds of them also. All right, so every time kings know that they have to be close to the prophet. Those of you that play chess, what's the closest piece to the king and the queen? Those of you that play chess, if you don't know what chess is, don't worry. It's a long story, but those of you that play chess, what are the two things that stand immediately after the king and the queen? Bishops. All right, that's significant. All right. So last, the children of Israel were being misled by these prophets. Elijah prayed, rain stopped. He now had a showdown with the prophets. You know the story now. He called all the prophets, told them, arrange your own fire, arrange your sacrifice, arrange my sacrifice. The God who is real, let him answer by fire. Of course, the prophets of Baal shouted, Baal no show. Baal said, because you can't do showdown with God and survive. So they call him Baal. He say, you know, go better for now. He didn't answer them. So Elijah was even mocking them. Say, shout louder. Maybe he's busy or he traveled. He can't hear where. Increase your volume. They shouted. They even began to cut. In fact, the verse said they danced. You see, Satan copies everything we do. They danced because they knew that if they danced, it will move God. It moves our own God. Hope you know dance moves our God. Today is Thanksgiving service. When we do Thanksgiving, say, come out and drop your offering. It's not just the offering, it's the dance. Some of you don't die. Just walk seriously like soldier. You don't understand that dancing before God moves you. We don't have time to read all those. There are many, many scriptures support that. I don't have time for that. But dance, so he told them to dance. They danced. They did shaku, everything. God said, I never see anything. The bar said, I never see anything. If you like some assault, do break dance. I ain't coming out. After that, they told them, cut yourself. They began to cut themselves for that sacrifice, because sacrifice moves our God. Do you understand? What doesn't pain you will not move heaven sometimes. So that's why we give sacrificially sometimes. It moves God. So they copy it. So they began to cut themselves and they were bleeding. But I said, if you like, cut your neck. You want king. It didn't come out. So last, Elijah now came and called God of the real Jehovah, and fire came from heaven. And he told them to kill all the prophets. And they killed all the prophets. And he was feeling very great. He had done a great job for the Lord. And he also prophesied that it will rain. And you see, all this happened at the same time. He prophesied that it will rain. And in fact, no, not he prophesied. God told him that he should prophesy that it will rain. So he prophesied that it was going to rain. Then he went to pray so that the prophecy would come to pass. And as he was praying, it took him a while to pray, and the rain started coming. And this was rain that had not fallen for 3.5 years. So he prayed. So all this, he was doing plenty ministry activity. Overworking is also one of the things that can lead to depression. When you overwork, some of you, the way you work, you just work, you are setting yourself up for depression. The day you will break down emotionally and physically, you'll be shocked. So try and rest. I don't have time. Let me move. So let's go down to 19 verse 1. So Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets of... So after the rain fell, he killed all the other prophets, okay? Killed all the prophets of Baal. All of them, he slaughtered them. Next verse. Then Jezebel sent a messenger. Sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, by this time. Jezebel sent word to Elijah and said, the same way you killed those prophets, I swear, that's what she was saying, I'm going to also kill you. This is Elijah that just called fire from heaven. This Elijah that just prayed for rain that had not fallen for 3.5 years to fall. This was a mighty man of God, but he had overworked. He was stressed. Hallelujah. Elijah had no friend. Elijah had nobody to comfort him. The Bible didn't tell us that he had a wife. Nobody to comfort him. So he was stressed out. When you are stressed out, small things, one of the symptoms of depression is that you overreact. You exaggerate problems. One man of God shared his story, how he had been preaching like 3 weeks, morning, afternoon, night. He traveled for a mission trip. 3 weeks, morning, afternoon, night. That by the time he came back from the trip, he went to his closet. He wanted to change his underwear. He opened his closet. He couldn't find a new underwear. And he began to cry. He was crying and crying. This is what he was crying. He said he could have just walked down the street to buy. There's Walmart in America. You can buy. I'm sure he even had. But you see, that small thing just triggered off all the pent-up stress. It wasn't because of the issue he was crying. Men, married men, you need to learn that, okay? Sometimes when your wife is crying, it's not what you are doing today. She's remembering what you did on your wedding day. Women can be like that, okay? Women can mix both past and present and cry for it now because they didn't have time to cry that time. When the thing really happened, when you insulted them that time, they didn't have time to cry. So now that NEPA took light, they will add this one and that insult and other things and the inflation and they'll just cry all the cry now. So don't worry, don't try to understand why. Women do that a lot. So, he was sharp, pent up. So, this small threat by this woman, see what happened? Next verse. And when he saw that, he arose and did what? Ran for his life. This guy that just called fire from heaven. He ran for his life and went to Bathsheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. Next verse. It says, but he himself went what? A day's journey to the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. It's a very short tree. All right, and he prayed that he might what? Die. Suicide. This suicide. He prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, do what? Take my life, for I am no better than my father's. He was exaggerating the issue. He was stressed out. Number one, Jezebel, if you know anything, I don't have time. I'm trying to just be as fast as I can. This same Elijah, some one or two chapters before this, he met a guy called Obadiah, the guy I told you that was taking care of the prophets. He told Obadiah to go and tell the king that he wants to see him. Obadiah said, everybody knows you. That if you say you are, if everybody hears that you are here, before they go and bring soldiers to come and arrest you, wind takes you. So, and if you know anything about Elijah, he always appears from one place and appears. And he does it a lot. He used to do it. So, this Elijah guy was a very supernatural guy. That's what I'm saying. One threat from one woman wasn't, he could have disappeared. It's not today they've been chasing him. They've been chasing him since. Before this time. But today he was stressed out. He was exaggerating the problem. Some of you are planning to relocate. You are just exaggerating the traffic situation. You're exaggerating the government. You're exaggerating the thing. It might not be as... And let me just tell you, the abroad you want to go to, let me just tell you, I travel a lot. You know I travel a lot. Trust me, yo. If you have a real friend that loves you, ask him. Not all these people that are just telling you stories. Ask your real friend. He will tell you, it's not as if it's that easy there. You will walk. You won't believe it. So please, don't have the... There's no escape. We're all here together. You're not going anywhere. Here, we are here together. But that's how I start praying and be anointed and believe God for breakthrough here. You are going... No, oh, I've told Canadian members. Any DCC member, don't allow them to go anywhere. I've written Canadian embassy. All these people, don't watch them. I know them. Just send me their picture. I'll tell you. Oh, praise God. All right. What was I saying, Jerry? So he was exaggerating this issue. Let's move on. Because it's not even the message. He said, then as he lay and slept under the broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, what? Arise and eat. Please take note, this is not physical food. The angel was ministering to him spiritual food. I'm telling you the real cure of depression. Minister to him spiritual strength and spiritual food. Next verse. He said, then he looked and there was by his bed the cake baked and all that and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. This guy was fagged out. After he ate that food, he slept again. Next verse. He said, and the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat. And all that, go on. He said, the journey is great. He said, so he arose and ate and drank and went to sell other things. 49, so Herod. Next verse. And there he went to the cave and spent the place. Okay, let me try and summarize. So basically, you know, God said, what are you doing here? You know, he went to do a cave and went to stay there. God said, what are you still doing? That means he had not recovered. So what are you doing here? Next verse. Next verse. So he said, I have been very zealous for this. He had not, with all the spiritual food they had given him, he had not recovered. He had not recovered. I thought after all those things, he would have, he said, I've been very zealous for the God of hosts, for children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, and this is another thing that happens. This one happens mainly to ministers of God. Listen, guys, anytime I hear a report that some of you are still sleeping in your boyfriend's house overnight, anytime I get a report that some of you are doing abortion, anytime I get a report that you are still drinking, this is how I feel. It's a burnout for me, because I feel I'm wasting my time being a pastor if you're not going to get it. Anytime you've started coming to church for 1 year, 2 years, you are still as broke. Some of you are even more broke than when you came. That means you're not hearing anything I'm saying. This is how it is depressing to pastors. You need to know this, guys. It's because we care. If we didn't care, it would be very easy. Our government is like our government. If you like die, our government, did they send you? We're dying. They will just be eating their money. Nowhere in the world does government keep citizens in traffic for hours. It's not done because they understand that that is your productive time. That time in the traffic is what you use to earn money that they will use to earn tax. So every government tries to make sure you get to work and pay tax. Because by our own government, if you like dying in traffic, trailers have been parked here for many years. Has anybody called your name or said anything about it? Until they park inside somebody's house, our houses. But you see, there's a difference between when you have a leader or a pastor that cares, everything you go through pains him as it pains you. You need to understand. And for us, it's a roller coaster. Because if we have 10 members, if one has a testimony, we have to rejoice with those that rejoice. And the same hour, another person can call me, just the same hour, and say he just had a serious surgery or he just lost his child. I have to cry with him. On that minute, another person calls me, he has a serious problem. I have to pray with him. Another person calls me, has a testimony. I have to rejoice with him. So it's a roller coaster emotionally for us. So that's why it doesn't make sense. After all this wahala, somebody is still not criticize me or spread gist. There's what is called spiritual koboku. To just be released. Okay, I'm joking. Go ahead. He said, I've been zealous for the Lord of hosts. For the children of Israel have what? Forsaken your covenant. This man not hearing what I'm saying, Lord. He said, turn down your altars and kill your prophets with the sword. I alone am left. It was exaggerating the issue. The Bible told us that they had how many? 900 or 700 prophets that were still left. But you see, it was exaggerating the issue. It's one of the signs of depression. You exaggerate everything. Everything you say, you do. You don't love me anymore. You hate me. You are wicked. You are everything. Since we got married, nothing good has happened. You're exaggerating the issue. He said, I alone am left and they seek to take my life. Next verse. He said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, pass by. Basically, long story short, he kept saying he wanted to go, wanted to die. God had to honor that request. So if you are like that, you keep saying you want to die. Look, be careful about saying those things. Because you might soon have what you say. It's a spiritual principle. God doesn't change principles. Elijah kept insisting he wanted to die. And because nothing could kill him, God actually had to take him. He didn't die naturally. It wasn't his time to die. Chariots came and carried him away to heaven. And before he left, God told him, quickly round up your assignment. Anoint this king, anoint that king, anoint Elijah to take your place. Do you understand? Anoint Elijah to take your place. So he left before his time. This was suicide. Just it was a spiritual one. But Elijah committed suicide. I don't have time to study, let's first study that, but you get the gist, Abby. On that guy that happened to is a guy called Ahithophel. Ahithophel. Most of you know this story. Ahithophel too committed suicide. I don't have time to go into Ahithophel. On that guy was Jonah. Let's look at Jonah's own. Jonah chapter 4. Jonah chapter 4. From verse 1. Who remembers the story of Jonah? God called him to ministry. He didn't want to go. He wanted to head somewhere else. Road scattered. They threw him out of the boat. Whale swallowed him, you know, for 3 days. And like they say, I can imagine how Jonah would have explained to his wife. When his wife said, where were you for 3 days? Honey, where did you go for 3 days? You see, I said, I didn't go. It's whale that swallowed me. She said, are you okay? Whale swallowed you. I said, yes, for 3 days. Man, you can try that. Then try it disappear. Try it. And call us from the hospital when you come out. Crazy. So, we're swallowing for 3 days. You know, they vomited. When he was not ready to go and do the assignment, they vomited him at the place of assignment. He finally went there and preached powerfully. Preached out his heart. Preached out his heart. Those of you that don't preach, you don't know what the stress of preaching. Yonggi Cho, Bishop, Pastor Yonggi Cho, largest church in the world. Their church was at one time 1 million members. They had 1 million members. So he preaches from Saturday or so, he preaches up to 10 times from Saturday to like Sunday evening. About 10 times. He said, whenever he's done, he will tell his wife, I will resign. That this is my last message. I'm not doing again. Because that's how it is when you preach out your whole heart and soul. You just feel like you don't want to do it again. So Jonah preached a powerful message that God is going to judge this whole place. When the people heard the message, they declared a fast. Both animals, human beings, everybody, they fasted. And the moment they fasted, God turned around and forgave them. He didn't now destroy the land. Ah, he pained Jonah. Jonah said, you see, this is why I didn't want to come and deliver this message. After I have preached that you are going to clear this whole place, you didn't now clear it. He got depressed. Jonah 4 verse 1. He said, but this displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he became what? Angry. That God didn't destroy the place. Next verse. He says, so he prayed to the Lord and said, ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. This is very important. Some of you, that's why as a Christian, you can't be judgmental. The person that committed that offense you are gossiping about, he has repented before God. You are still carrying old news. At the end of the day, you are the one that will get punished. Because you don't know God. You don't even know him. And he has not appointed you as a minister of justice. So there are some matters you should just leave it and face your front. It has nothing to do, because you don't know the transaction the person and God have done. They've settled. Say, mercy, slow to anger, and abundant love kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Next verse. He says, therefore now, O Lord, please do what? Take my life. Suicide. Take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Better for me to die than to live. Suicide. Verse 8 quickly. I'll just share the points I have in between the two services. There's no way I can finish what I want to say today. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind and the sun beat on Jonah's head that he grew faint. Then he wished what? Death for himself. And said it's better. So basically, he kept saying, is that what I'm showing you? He kept saying he wanted to die. All these guys were depressed. Let's move into what the cures are. I have like 8 or so points, so I'll just do 4 in this service, do another 4 in the next service or so. There's no way I can finish all of them. I've already spent most of the time gisting. So number one, we're looking at the real biblical spiritual cures from Bible. Number one, anytime you seem to be going through something that's now looking like depression and it's really stressing you out, number one, talk to someone. You see this in James chapter 5 verse 16, I think. James 5, 16. Talk to someone. The Bible says, bear one another's burden. He said, look at this. He said, confess what? Your trespass to one another and do what? Pray for one another that ye may be what? Healed. Talk to someone. He said, bear one another's burdens. Talking to someone it has a way of helping you unlock and unleash that pent up pressure. All right? Some of you, the thing you are going through is getting stronger because you have no positive influence to communicate with. You are just talking to yourself. And most times you are speaking negatively to yourself. Talk to someone. Talk to someone. Now, I need to sound this at this point. When I say talk to someone, I'm not saying talk to everyone. I'm not saying talk to everyone. Secondly, if it's a sensitive matter, it's not anyone you can talk to, for goodness sake. You need to understand, I'm the first person to admit that there are not many church people you can tell real secrets. I'm the first person to tell you that. There are not many people in church that you can tell serious secret to, because as you are telling them, they are sharing your prayer point to everybody. Let's pray for Sister Jeanette. She just cheated on her husband, but we don't want to tell anybody. Just want us to pray. Then the person she's telling to, we tell on that person that one to trust. Do you understand? So all of them are telling who they trust. For you know, everybody has heard, but they have no head. In the name of prayer and prophecy. So we've reached out that the Lord says she'll reach out to you. It's gossip she heard. It's not the Lord told her. She has heard the gossip. And she's looking for how you register. She said, Lord says she'll reach out to you. That there's something going on by the Holy Ghost. It's not Holy Ghost. It's gossip ghost from her friend. So I'm the first to admit church people are not the best people to open up to. So if you're going to open up somebody in church, it has to be somebody you absolutely trust. I'm not even advising somebody at your level. Probably somebody at a higher level than you. Not your friend. One of the problems of poor people is that all their friends are poorer than them. You can't be asking financial advice. You are broke. You're asking advice from your broke friend. That's the worst person to talk to. It's preferably somebody at a higher authority. There are things I tell my pastor. There are things I and my wife tell my pastor, Reverend Femi Oduwole, that I can't tell any of you. It's none of your business. It might even discourage you. So I'll tell my pastor. He's in a capacity to deal with it. And I can trust him with that information. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? That's the honest truth. So I'm not saying go and tell your friend. Then your friend will not tell his friend. Then your friend will not tell his friend. I've seen people do those kind of things. The whole church has said some things I think you're hiding. That your foolish friend has told on that foolish friend. That's in your hiding. All of us, we know. When we are greeting you and telling sorry, the sorry has deeper meaning. Because people do that all the time. I'm telling my friend. He too will tell his friend. That will tell his friend. Somebody getting this, guys? And I'm also not talking about people just telling people things to look for sympathy. You know, there are people like that everywhere they go. That's the introduction. My name is John. I lost my job. That's the introduction every week. So that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about somebody looking for sympathy or pity or something to manipulate people to get their money off them. I mean, you are genuinely looking for help. You are talking to someone in a capacity, in a spiritual capacity to give you help. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Not that you're a girl, a guy breaks your heart, you now go and tell your crush. That's another nonsense I'm talking about, guys. You're a girl now. Your fiance broke your heart, jilt you. Then you now go and look for a fine boy in your department or a fine boy in your church that you already like and have feelings for. That's the person you now go and meet for counsel, to be counseling you. He will soon counsel you. That's not what I'm talking about, because I know people will misconstrue this principle. This is a powerful principle, but many people in church don't use it well. This is not a gossip tool. This is not waste of time. This is not you telling your friend your problem. That's not what I'm talking about. You're telling somebody in a spiritual capacity to minister to you. It has to be somebody very discreet, especially if it's a sensitive issue. Hallelujah. Can never forget one of my friends. You know, because some churches preach restitution, and it is actually a biblical principle, but it must be applied with wisdom. I've seen churches where a woman cheated on her husband. They didn't even handle the case well. They didn't manage. Just told her, go and tell him straight. That's the end of the story. Can I ever forget one of my friends who were in secondary school? I stole one perfume box. I told you the story before. Fine perfume box, but very leather. It was very beautiful. That those days were very fine. It was the finest thing about the perfume. So everybody keeps that box, even though the perfume is finished. So my dad loved that box. I stole the box, took it to school. You know how you think when you're small, you steal some of your parents, go and post it in school. I was posting it in school during break time. By the time I came from break, it was lost. Somebody has stolen it. I asked my friend, boy, deny. I swear to my mama, not with me. Everybody deny. Years after. So my parents said, what was that thing? I don't know. Even me, I'm shocked. You know when somebody's lying when he doesn't answer the question directly. I had gotten born again. And in his church, they put restitution without wisdom. So he just brought the thing back and gave my parents. What concern you and my parents? Find me and give me. I will know how I will settle with my parents. Come on, bring it back. There's wisdom in this thing. Just go, just carry yourself. I'm the one that killed the legiwa. Just go. That's not how they do it. That's not how they do it. Praise God. Okay. So many people waste this principle. It's a biblical principle. It's a sound principle. But there's a way to what? Apply. Not just tell everybody, just spread your own story. I see people like that. They don't use their own hand to destroy their own life. Just spread nonsense story about themselves. You talk to somebody in a capacity spiritually to minister to you, in a capacity to strengthen you, in a capacity to also be very discreet. And there are not many people like that in every church. The fraction is very few, very short. Very few that have the wisdom to manage it. Do you know, as a pastor, if you know the kind of things people tell me, you will be shocked. There's nothing I can't hear. There's nothing I don't hear. Nothing. But you will never. There are even some I can't even tell my wife, because I don't even want to put that burden of the heavy gist on her. Let her just be loving the Lord. No need, because if it shook me, it will shake her. I get what I'm saying. So especially those of you that are ministers, there are some things you must just keep. Person told you in confidence, it's confidential. It's confidential. So you can't just say this guy came to tell me. No. So it's not anybody you can talk to. Most people have a higher capacity spiritually that are discreet. It's not even all pastors that are discreet. Okay. I believe you've received sense, Abby. As I told my friend. He will tell his friend. That too will tell his friend. And church people, please, I beg you in the name of God, can we try to be discreet? That's why some of you, your faith don't work. Because the things coming out of your mouth is too negative. You're not using your mouth well. So there's no way, you can't use the same mouth that brings out salt and to bring out pure clean water. Some of you don't understand it. You can't be a gossip and still be able to use that mouth to pray and it will work. Some scriptural principles. That's why some of you, your life can't move forward. You use your mouth to do is gossip. You never really pray. You never really make positive confessions about your life. You all use your mouth to do is gossip. And I've been a pastor 20-something years. People that are gossip champions never make anything out of their life. I've done this for about 25 years. I can tell you categorically, it's rare to see somebody that's a gossip champion, either a receiver of gossip or a spreader of gossip, that actually, eventually, does something with their life. It's difficult. Next point, prayer. Prayer. It's in that same verse. It says, confess your faults one to another, or confess whatever challenge you are facing one to another. Then he said, do what? Pray for one another. So, like I said, this person must be in a position to minister to you. So the person can pray for you and pray along with you. Person can pray for you and pray along with you. Person can pray for you and pray along with you. Real praying. Real praying can heal you of depression. Real praying releases God's power. Look at what that scripture says. It said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, which is dynamic in his working. That's the amplified version. Which is dynamic in his working. Say, confess one another for your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and what? Restored to what? A spiritual tone of mind and heart. He said, the earnest, heartfelt what? Continued. Do you see how the process? It must be earnest, it must be heartfelt, it must be continued, not 2 seconds, not 10 seconds. Continued prayer of a righteous man makes what? Tremendous power, what? Available. Which is dynamic in his work. That means he can do anything, he can go in and reach you in the depths of your heart. Hallelujah. Oh man, prayer is one of the real cures. Real prayer. Real time of fellowship with the Lord, where you worship, you pray. Prolonged times. Nothing can lift the burden of your heart as fast as prayer. Real prayer. Not watching TV can't heal you of depression. Being on Instagram morning to night can even add to the depression. Somebody get what I'm saying? Most of the young people today, they follow more of entertainment pages than developmental pages. There's no way you're going to grow like that. So all the guys that are cracking jokes and making fun have millions of followers. Check all the guys that are giving content have little followers. Real developing content have little followers. So most of these young people are trying to get entertainment. That does not develop you. Entertainment is very good. Don't get me wrong. Our church is full of entertainers. But that doesn't develop you. You need to also get development. Your spiritual life, your mental life, other aspects of it. So real prayer changes you. Real prayer. How is your prayer life? You can't be active in prayer and still stay depressed. Because when you pray, angels minister spiritual food to you. They minister. When after Jesus finished fasting, what happened? What did the Bible say happened? Angels came and ministered to him. You see, whenever, because Jesus had just finished going through a heavy duty spiritual exercise. He just fasted 40 days and 40 nights and he had been battling with the devil throughout that fast. Devil was tempting him, he was overcoming it. Immediately he finished, they said the first thing that happened was that angels came and ministered. So every time you spend time in prayer, your angels minister to you. Do you pray in tongues? Oh, praying in tongues. It edifies you. That's what the Bible says. Praying in tongues edifies you. Charges you up. 1 Corinthians 14. Say, if you pray in an unknown tongue, you speak not to men but unto God. No man understands you. Say, how be in the spirit, you what? Speak mysteries. He said, he that prays in unknown tongue edifies himself. That word edifies himself literally means charges up himself. No real person actively praying stays depressed. In fact, one of the reasons you are depressed is because you are just talking to yourself mentally. Listen, if you follow mental and natural news, Nigeria alone is enough to depress anybody. That one is. So if you don't charge up yourself spiritually, you're wasting your energy. Look at it. He said, he who speaks an unknown tongue edifies himself. The other thing, that word edify means charge up, build up. You charge up yourself. And do you know, everything you are facing in life is a matter of perspective. If you are not charged up, you exaggerate problems. When you are charged up, the big problems suddenly begin to look small. Because you are charged up. Are you here, somebody? Any problem, go and pray and come back and look at it. Same problem, will suddenly you begin to see a way forward. Because you are charged up, you are prayed up. Prayer would help you deal with depression. Are you here, somebody? Not watching TV, not watching series, not Instagram, not listening to shaku shaku music. Those things can't heal you of real depression. But prayer, a life of prayer, can do it. I'll do one more in this service because today is Thanksgiving service. I'll see if I can sneak in one more. I'll continue that once in the next service. Which one should I take? Hope in God. Trust in God. Psalm 43 verse 5. Psalm 43 verse 5. He said, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? He says, do what? I can't hear you. Are you reading with me? Hope in God. David here was getting depressed. He said, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Why are you so discouraged? And by the Spirit of God, the answer came. He says, do what? Hope in God. Most times when you are depressed, it's because you have lost hope. That's what depression is. You have lost hope in whatever it is you are doing or expecting or trusting God to do in your life. You've lost hope that you still get a job. You've lost hope that you still get married. You've lost hope that you will still break through. You've lost hope that you still finish that project. You've lost hope that you still have children. So why am I so? So every time you are cast down, it's because you have lost hope. And the answer came by the Spirit. He said, hope in God. Trust in God frees you from whatever is depressing you. When you trust God with that situation, you will no longer worry about it. 1 Peter 5 says, casting your cares upon the Lord, for He cares on your behalf. Cast all your cares. Hope in God. That thing will still come through. Hope in God. The year is not over yet. Hope in God. Hallelujah. It's not over. Hope in God. Hope in God. Put your trust in God. Put your trust in God. And start walking in obedience. If it's financial issues causing your anxiety, walk in obedience financially. Do you tithe? Do you tithe? Tithing is one of the ways we express our faith and we trust. Do you tithe? Do you give? Do you work? Do you work hard? Do you work smart? Are you actually faithful and diligent? Are you looking for a shortcut, a quick way to make money? If you walk in obedience, a guy is messing you up. Are you? Many women are the one training themselves for a bad marriage from when they are in courtship. If you are fornicating freely, now, the person that is okay with fornication will be okay with adultery. You are the one training him. Now, don't walk against God's word and be expecting God's best. So it's obedience. Hallelujah. Let me quickly pray this morning. For anyone, either people watching this later on, watching online, or people that are here today and going through any form of depression, I'll pray two prayers. Number one, I'm going to pray for comfort. Have you ever been through a situation or a time where you feel so dejected, you feel so forsaken, and all of a sudden something good happens to you from nowhere? It's just a sign of God telling you, look, I've not forsaken you. You are not alone. Has it happened to somebody here before? That's what I want to pray for you for. Because sometimes when you are discouraged, you don't even need a word of encouragement. You need a blessing. You need a favor that will show you that God is still with you. That's the first thing I'll pray for you today. That God will give you comfort. You will get a miracle before the end of this year. And that miracle might not be the main one, but it will just be a sign to show you that the main one is still on the way. Are you here, somebody? The second thing I'll do, I'll rebuke the spirit of heaviness. It's a spirit. Depression is a spirit. That's what makes people kill themselves. It's not natural for a human being to hurt himself. I'll rebuke that spirit of heaviness. Let's just pray. Father, I pray for everyone that is sound of my voice. I pray that you give them a comfort miracle. Let something good happen to them from an unexpected source. In the name of Jesus. Let there be sudden favor. A sign that will show that you are still good. I pray it for everyone under the sound of my voice. In the mighty name of Jesus. This year will not end until you receive your own full reward. This year you will receive that comfort. In the name of Jesus. And I rebuke every spirit of heaviness. Anything weighing you down, causing you pain and stress, I rebuke that spirit of suicide in the name of Jesus. I command the spirit of heaviness to be lifted in the name of Jesus. I ask that God gives you the oil of joy for your morning.
He will give you the garment of praise in the name of Jesus. I break the yoke of that heaviness. I break the yoke of suicidal thoughts. I rebuke that spirit of death. In the name of Jesus, you will begin to feel better from now. Strength from on high comes upon you from now. Strength from within you begins to generate now. In the name of Jesus, that weakness is replaced with strength. That defeat is replaced with victory. In the name of Jesus, the energy to pray, receive it now. The energy to be revived in your spiritual life, receive it now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.
We know you've been blessed by this message. To order a copy of this message or any of our messages, you can call us on 080-777-14411 or 080-777-14412. Or you can visit our website on www.davidschristiancenter.org. David's Christian Center, home of victorious people.